If you have your Bible open to Daniel, so all of a sudden you might think, why are we going to Daniel? I tell you, there's nothing to do with the latest Bible study. I noticed recently that latest Bible study covering Daniel chapter 5 has nothing to do with that. You can ask catechism students. Actually, I was talking to them and then told them maybe it's a good idea to do Daniel chapter 7 and 8. 8 is fascinating. You're talking about some history. I was thinking about doing it, and somehow I went to chapter 8. Chapter 5. But before we go to chapter 5, I think it's good to cover from some portions of the previous chapter, chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4, there's a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then there's a dream, and then Daniel, he called Daniel to give interpretation. And we'll read from verse 28, because this is also relevant to Daniel chapter 5. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12th month. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this a great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like a bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Let's go to chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite to the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried out loud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tell me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. And King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as in an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now if you can read a writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over whomever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted up yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with the purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius of Medes received the kingdom of being about 62 years old. May the Lord bless us with his word. What a fascinating story. Rise of the kingdom and fall of the kingdom. The last day of the kingdom or Babylonian Empire. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said, the book of Daniel is a fascinating book. From chapter 1 to the last chapter, chapter 12. And many, many things that we can talk about. But did you know that the book of Daniel was challenged by many critics in history? Many critics who was against the accuracy of the Bible, they criticized or tried to cast doubt on Daniel's historical reliability. Many critics challenged that the book of Daniel was written later. Daniel lived in 6th century BC, but the critics wanted to date the writings of Daniel all the way after, if you know the intertestamental period of history, there's a time called the period of Maccabees. So they wanted to push all the way to the time of Maccabees, which is 4 centuries later. So this allowed them to say that Daniel's prophecies were actually written after the events. Actually, what we read today, the chapter is at the heart of the controversy. Whether the book of Daniel was historically reliable or not. Because the famous story about writings on the wall, that story talks about someone that other historical records once disagreed. Daniel says there was a king named Belshazzar, whereas the ancient historians like Herodotus, who was called the father of the historians or history, and many other historical documents did not agree. They all said a king, someone named Nabonidus, he was the last king of Babylonian Empire. So there were all other documents were united in claiming that the last king was of New Babylonian Kingdom Empire was not Belshazzar or someone named Nabonidus. And who was this man, Nabonidus? He was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar is not mentioned anywhere except the book of Daniel. That's why it was a bit troublesome. But so many years, many skeptics denied that there was ever a king of Babylon named Belshazzar until they found a new discovery. In 1854, the archaeologist found 4 cylinders with identical inscriptions. They found them in a place called Ur. You heard the name Ur? Chaldean Ur, which was where the Abraham came from. That's what people think. That's probably the place that Bible is talking. When Bible says Ur, that's probably the place. That's where they found the cylinders. And in the cylinder, there was a prayer of the last, known to be last king of Babylon, Nabonidus. An amazing thing about this discovery is that Nabonidus prayed for his oldest son, Belshazzar, which is also mentioned in the Bible. So until now, they have no idea whether this guy existed until this was found. So this is such an amazing discovery, because very important discovery, because they had been denying his existence, had been saying Bible is wrong, there's no such person as Belshazzar. And then after that, there was another discovery of the document, which was translated in 1882, called the Nabonidus Chronicles. And according to this document, Nabonidus was mostly absentee king. So he ruled for 17 years, known to be a ruler for 17 years. Out of 17 years, he was absent for 10 years. He was absent from his throne. So what happened was this king, Nabonidus, assigned his son, Belshazzar, to be the ruler of Babylon. So this is what happened in the last day of the Babylonian Empire. Here's the theme and points. The Lord shows Belshazzar that he is the master of kings. First point, we are going to see the king did not glorify the Most High. Second point, the king he witnessed, he saw the writings on the wall. Third point, he was killed, he was slain. Before we get into our text, which is about the remarkable story on the writings on the wall, perhaps it's good to briefly survey the book of Daniel. What is the book of Daniel? What is the book of Daniel about? The main theme of Daniel is, of course, God's sovereignty. His sovereignty over all kings, rulers, and nations, governors. And there's one verse, I think, that can help us to understand the main theme of the book of Daniel, which is in our text also. For instance, in previous chapter, Daniel 4:25, Daniel was speaking to the king Nebuchadnezzar who conquered Jerusalem. Daniel was giving interpretation of a dream. Daniel said he will be driven out of palace, he will be like an oxen, because his heart was like a beast. He'll act like a beast. And indeed, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he exalted himself, not recognizing God, and he was driven out of palace right away. And he was eating grass like an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, and then his hair became like eagle's feathers, his nail became like bird's claws. That's in the previous chapter. For how long? Daniel says, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Until you know that. And he gives it to whomever he chooses. That is a very important key aspect to understand the book of Daniel. So that is to repeat it again in chapter 4:32. Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of earth and gives it to whomever he chooses. The book of Daniel is filled with many dreams and visions and many other stories. All the dreams, all those visions talk about one thing. God is the one who rules the kingdom of men. Think about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2. A giant statue, remember that statue? Made with gold, silver, bronze, iron and clay, mixture of iron and clay, which represents the earthly kingdom that will rise, will rise after Babylon, like Persia, Greece, and Rome. And there's another vision in Daniel chapter 7, the vision of four beasts, which also talk about four kingdoms which will come after Babylon. It's really interesting. They're described with the beast, like a lion, bear, and so on. And chapter 8 has a vision of a ram and a goat. Ram represents the Persian Empire from the east. The goat represents Greece from the west. We talked about this in the catechism class. And the vision was realized in 331 BC when there was war between the Persian Empire and Greece, the Macedonian kingdom. Probably no heard of the name Alexander the Great. So Daniel had this vision, all these visions, 200 years before that happened, especially I'm talking about chapter 8, and some other visions were realized in the later times. So God gave all these visions, dreams, and interpretations to teach man and God's people that these things will happen. God knows that these things will happen. God knows because He wills. He's in control of rise and the fall of every nation, kings, and empires. So Daniel says, you need to know that. Till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And He gives to whomever He chooses. So here we are at the last page of the great empire, Babylon. At the end of the one empire, at the moment of a great transition, He was there. God was there. So that we may know that He is in control. Babylon was the greatest nation at the time. The book of Daniel, Daniel actually deals with, he faces many kings. First one is Nebuchadnezzar, of course, who conquered many nations, including Egypt and Jerusalem, Judah. Another king named Belshazzar, who was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And this chapter describes the progress of Belshazzar's magnifying himself against the living God. First one, I'm going to go through some verses here. First one, the king made a great feast for thousands of his lords. What did he do? He drank wine in the presence of the thousand. And then here's the problem. Verse 2. While he tasted the wine, he gave a command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father brought from the holy temple in Jerusalem, so that the kings and his lords and his wives and concubines might drink from them. Now, one side note that I'd like to point out is this. You see the text that Daniel refers to Nebuchadnezzar as the father of Belshazzar's father, although technically he was not, because the word father in the ancient time interchangeably used as like a forefather. So it covers father, grandfather, or great-grandfather. So King Belshazzar drank in the presence of thousands. It was a great feast. All the high officials, all the lords, wives, and concubines, thousands of them came. Can you imagine? It was a great feast, national feast. The king commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels from the holy temple, which was taken out from the holy temple. Now you might think, what is wrong with that? What is wrong with drinking wine, the nice-looking, fancy glasses, is it wrong? Well, they were not just fancy gold and silver vessels. Notice that they were taken out of the holy temple in Jerusalem. And then we see the more serious issue right away in verse 4. You see, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, and iron, wood, and stone. They praised heathen gods. They probably were drinking as they were singing. They probably were singing songs in praise of the gods that they served. The gods as victorious over the God of Israel. They were using holy vessels of the temple of God, God of Israel, as they glorified their heathen gods. In doing so, what was happening is that they raised their gods above the Lord of heaven, as Daniel charged the king in verse 23. Let's look at that verse 22 and 23 a little closely. And Daniel was charging the king, but you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. Knew what? What happened in the previous chapter? And you have lifted up yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised, that's the point, you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And here's the key point. But what about the God? The God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Now notice that look at that expression here. Look at the contrast between the false gods and the true God. You have praised the gods who do not see or hear or know. We are saying from Psalm 115, that's a similar expression. At the same time, you have not glorified the God who holds your breath in his hand. Beloved congregation, according to Daniel, who holds your breath in his hand? You see, in his grip, not only are the rise and fall of nations, but also the breath of king, also your breath. Think about it. He holds your breath in his hand even now. It is foolish to despise him. You know, many people do enjoy the passing pleasures of this world while their breath is still in God's hand. Instead of praising God, instead of worshiping God, instead of coming to church on Sunday, they do something else. While their breath is in God's hand. And sometimes people even cross line. That's what happened here. Belshazzar, he should not have touched the gold and silver vessels from the temple and used that even to use them to praise his own heathen gods. Brothers and sisters, there's a fine line. There's a fine line you should not cross. There's a fine line that you should not cross, and you should know it. Because, again, God holds your breath in his hand. Don't forget that. Let's go to the second point. The king saw the writings on the wall. Verse 5, in the same hour, which means while they were drinking and partying, intoxicating themselves with wine, there was a fingers of man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now, As you read through the book of Daniel, especially this chapter, you should be surprised how detailed his descriptions are. It's remarkable how Daniel describes everything vividly in detail. Look at all his expressions. You know, you can picture what is happening right now at the time. It says, the fingers of man's hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall over against the lampstand, which is, you can imagine the lampstand was standing on the king's table, which king was sitting, and then hand was writing on the opposite side on the plaster of the wall so that the king cannot miss what was happening. And king's reaction, notice again how vividly Daniel describes. The king's countenance changed. He was drinking, singing, giving praises, giving cheers, laughing, getting drunk. He was so happy, and all of a sudden, his countenance changed. He knew he was in trouble. His thoughts troubled him. And look at this expression. So that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Obviously, there was a fear. He was having nervous breakdown because God was there. He felt guilty in the presence of God. It was just a finger, but he felt guilty. There's something going on, he knew right away. Well, I guess he got left something called conscience. See, even the wicked ruler, wicked king, evil king, when he faces God's judgment, he has to fear and tremble. What an expression. The joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocking against each other. And then king, immediately, he cried out loud. Immediately commanded to bring all those wise men, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Bring all these men in Babylon. What is going on? What is this writing? Whoever reads this writing, tell me this interpretation. He was very desperate. I will clothe him with a purple. I'll give him a golden chain. I put a golden chain around his neck. I'll make a third ruler of this kingdom, he said. Yes, he is. Can you see how desperate he was? He said, look, just please let me know. If you please explain this writing to me, you will be the third king. Third king. And their response, all the wise people came, verse 8, and their answer was, Your Majesty, sorry. See what king is doing here? When he desperately needs help, he calls what he thinks is reliable, relies on worthless wisdom, astrologers, magicians, soothsayers. When people are troubled, they try to find help from someone whom they think they can get help from. They tend to hold on to things that which cannot help. And as they are doing so, they don't turn their eyes to the Lord. It was the same with this king. And once the king found out that they are useless, he despairs. See, the lesson is even the wisest in the greatest empire on the earth, see what happens? Without God's help, without God's Holy Spirit and His guidance, their knowledge becomes useless. Useless when they face the truth. Because if you read from the first chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel made it clear. It is God of heaven who gives interpretations and wisdom. And they hold to the vain knowledge and worldly wisdom as if their life depends on it, while they are totally indifferent to the fact that the Lord holds their breath in his hand. Let's go to verse 9. So the story continues. The king, his countenance was changed once again. His lords were astonished. Most powerful man in the most powerful empire. He feared no one. Now he is helpless. One incident, writings on the wall, drove him to absolute panic. Please, someone, is there anybody who can read these writings and solve this mysterious enigma? Then the queen heard the words of the king and came to the king. Apparently, it seems like the queen was not there. Maybe the queen was in her chamber. I don't know. But the queen said, "O king, live forever." She heard what was going on in the banquet hall, and she came, "Live forever," she said. Well, if you know the story, his live forever was just 3 and 4 hours. "Do not let your thoughts trouble you. Let your countenance change." Verse 11, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the most of the holy God. The Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar." This queen presumably probably was the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. It is remarkable because she not only remembers Daniel, but look at what she said. "The spirit of the holy God is in him." Was she aware of the Lord that Daniel believed? We do not for sure. Was she converted and believed in Daniel's God? We do not know. We might find out in heaven. But what we know is that a queen knows about Daniel. The queen says, "This man Daniel has more wisdom than any other wise man in Babylon. He has excellent spirit and understanding. He will give interpretation." Now, the previous chapter, Daniel, the same thing happened. The king Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel, and Daniel said, "It is the Lord who reveals the secret things." Now here, notice another contrast. Now how the queen introduces Daniel, the spirit of holy God is in him, and compare that with how king addresses Daniel. Verse 13, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives of Judah? The captives that my father conquered." Well, what a nice way to address man who has high profile. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar made a Daniel chapter 2, 48. Previous king Nebuchadnezzar made a Daniel as a head of all Babylon's wise men. So Daniel was brought before the king. The king asked, "Here's the writing. Can you read them? What does that mean? If you do, I will clothe you with a purple cloth, have chain golden chain around your neck, and you shall be the third king of this kingdom." Now, this is the second time that term third kingdom appears. So a third king of the kingdom, third king, third ruler. Why did the king Belteshazzar keep saying something about the third ruler? What's up with the word third? And the answer is simple. Because that is the best position that the king could grant, since he was not the first one. He was the second ruler after his father. Remember in the introduction, because his father Nabonidus was ill, his son just took it over, but his father was still alive. His son was just taking over the place. So you can see how accurate a God's word is, telling us everything in a great detail like this. So he said, "I will make you the ruler, third king of this kingdom." "How do you like that, Daniel?" king said. And verse 17, Daniel refuses. "Let your gifts be yourself and give your rewards to another. But I will give interpretation." And this is what Daniel does. He does not give interpretation right away. Before he read Before he gave interpretation of the writing, he reminded the king of what happened to his forefather Nebuchadnezzar, who made himself so proud. He was so proud, he was so arrogant, he exalted himself against God. Daniel says, God gave the power, majesty, all the authority to your father, King Nebuchadnezzar. Whomever he wished, he could execute. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. All peoples, nations, languages trembled, feared before him. And you know what? The Most High God, he's the one who gave him all the majesty, glory, and honor. Did you know that? But did you also know that when his heart was lifted, his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his throne? Did you know that? He was made like the beast, dwelling in the wild with the wild donkeys, eating grass. Until when? Until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of men, and he appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, king, you have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. The king knew all this, according to Daniel, but still he failed to glorify the Most High. I guess it is one thing that you have had knowledge, but it's totally another thing to act accordingly. It is one thing that you say, Christ is my Lord, but it's another thing to be diligent in worshiping God. I guess it's one thing to have head knowledge, I have to do this, I have to do that, but it's another thing to execute what you know. And this king, Belshazzar, made exactly the same mistake, and he crossed the line which he should not have crossed. And most importantly, verse 23, you have praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but God who holds your breath in his hands, you have not glorified. That was the main problem. That was what caused the writings on the wall. Verse 24, Daniel explains, the fingers of the hand were sent from God. Your Majesty, God was here. No wonder why you are trembling. No wonder why your knees are knocking against each other. Your Majesty, God was here and he's still here. Hence, this is what God is going to do. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Mene, mene, God has numbered. Mene means to number. Especially the duration of time, duration of days. In this case, duration of the days of kingdom. What does that mean? God knows everything, even the timing. Tekel. Tekel is believed, came from the word kalal. Tekel means... Kalal means to weigh things on a balance. So this word is often used to describe sometimes how insufficient a person is. And for instance, the same word is found in Genesis 17:4 when Hagar despised Sarah after she found that she was with a child. So she says she despised Sarah. It literally means Hagar considers Sarah too little or insufficient. So that's the basic idea. God weighs the kingdom and the kings on the balance, his balance, and found that it is too light. That form of kalal or tekel, that is sometimes, if it has a form that also means light. Last one, upharsin, peres, which means to divide. The kingdom will be given to the two kings, Medes and Persians. And then you see the Darius becomes a king first. And then later, this famous king Cyrus comes to the stage, which Prophet Isaiah talked about. Cyrus, his name matters because he's the one who makes the decree to send the Jews back to the homeland. The last point, the king was slain. Verse 30. That very night, Belshazzar, king of Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Medes received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, we need to see the story within the big context of the book of Daniel. You probably know the first vision of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. The king had a dream, huge statue. Head was gold, chest, arms, silver, belly and thigh, bronze, legs, iron, and feet, partly iron and partly clay. All these different parts represent different kingdoms which will rise after Babylon. But that's not the main point of the vision or dream. The highlight of the dream has to do with the destruction of this image. And there was a stone which was not cut out, which was cut out without hands, struck the image on his feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. And through this stone, Daniel said, God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That is the main point. And this repeats again, that point repeats again in Daniel chapter 7. After Babylon, there will be many kingdoms rise and fall, like Persia, Greece, and Roman Empire, and many kings. The kingdoms, it's really interesting, kingdoms are described as a beast, with the image of beast. And Nebuchadnezzar was like, acted like a beast. There is some connection there. And we can read all about it in chapter 7. Yet that's not the end of the story. The highlight is the stone, which in chapter 7 is the one like the Son of Man. And notice, you will notice, you know that our Lord Jesus Christ refers to himself frequently. He is the Son of Man. He will destroy all the kingdoms. Daniel 7:18, the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. That is the main point. So why are there so many visions and stories in Daniel? The main point, Christ will establish as the everlasting kingdom and his saints will receive the everlasting kingdom. So how can we summarize all these? Well, you see that every year, four years, 5 years in the States, the 4 year, 5 years, there's election. I don't know about Canada. Or sometimes kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. New kings, new presidents, new prime ministers. The last verse of our chapter, notice the expression. The Darius of Mede received the kingdom. It doesn't say he took the kingdom, he received the kingdom. Again, God wants you to know that he is the one who gives the kingdom to whomever he chooses. God is in control. There will be many troubles, political upheavals. One king, president may fall and another will rise and receive the kingdom of power. Repeats again and again. This will continue. But in the big picture, at the end, okay, in the picture of Daniel, there is the stone or the Son of Man. He will establish everlasting kingdom. So book of Daniel, overall, all this, at the very important moment of the last minute of the greatest empire on the earth, Babylon, asking this question to you. Fall of the kingdom, rise of the kingdom, but do you know that at the end, there's everlasting kingdom by God? All these things will repeat again and again. But the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on the ultimate kingdom which was established by the stone which destroyed the image made with gold, silver, bronze, and iron and clay. And the stone, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give the kingdom, everlasting kingdom, to his people. That's the main lesson the book of Daniel is teaching us. No wonder why Daniel refused to receive the rewards from the king. Because he knew right away, well, he became the third ruler anyway, but how long? 3-4 hours? Because he knew right away, this is not going to last long. What about you, brothers and sisters? You're so interested in the political things. Yes, but let us not be distracted from the last goal, which is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Only the kingdom of God will last forever. Amen. Let us come to God with the prayer of thanksgiving. Our gracious God in heaven, we thank you that you have hidden all the heavenly wisdom from those who call themselves wise, but reveal to your people, the humbled ones. We're so thankful for this mystery and also remarkable truth that the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ stands forever, ever since he conquered the death. Even the death cannot harm us. Lord, we pray that you would give us a strength and a firm faith on our Lord Jesus Christ as we are living in this difficult time. And we heard many rumors and news about all those political upheavals. But let us help us to hold fast to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us help us to look on our Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of God, that he will come again to judge all the nations, and his kingdom will come, and we will live forever. And this is the only hope we confess. This is the only hope on which we can live by every day. Although we faced many difficulties and challenges, sometimes we are being harassed by this world. In the same time, that we live by faith, we can live with joy and gladness because of this hope that we belong to your everlasting kingdom. All this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.